2,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, the proudest boast was, Civis Romanus Sum. Today, in the world of freedom, the proudest boast is, Ich bin ein Berliner.
It was a great day in the history of Berlin, June 26, 1963. Not only was it inscribed in the chronicles of the city, but in the hearts of Berliners as well. It was a day that will never be forgotten by those in the divided city. It was a day of hope. It was a day of reassurance. It was the day that President John Fitzgerald Kennedy visited the city. For here was a man of courage and integrity, a man who didn't promise easy solutions to the problem, but he was a man who justified the belief in a better world to come.
$47 million of appropriations for the armed forces to fill out our present army divisions and to make more men available for prompt deployment. I am requesting an increase in the army's total authorized strength from 875,000 to approximately 1 million men. To fulfill these manpower needs, I am ordering that our draft calls be doubled and tripled in the coming months. I am asking the Congress for authority to order to active duty certain ready reserve units and individual reservists and to extend tours of duty. The world is not deceived by the communist attempt to label Berlin as a hotbed of war, but the freedom of that city is not negotiable. We cannot negotiate with those who say, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is negotiable. To sum it all up, we seek peace, but we shall not surrender.
9:55 a.m., Air Force One lands at Tegel. A 21-gun salute greeted the first president of the United States to set foot on Berlin soil. Accompanying Mr. Kennedy were Secretary of State Dean Rusk and General Lucius D. Clay, the first United States Commandant in Berlin. The welcoming ceremonies were presided over by Berlin's governing mayor, Willy Brandt, and the federal chancellor, Konrad Adenauer. The wall was there, the division obvious, and it brought forth thoughts of President Kennedy's July 25th address to the nation when he said, for West Berlin, lying exposed 110 miles inside of East Germany, surrounded by Soviet troops and close to Soviet supply lines, has many roles. It is more than a showcase of liberty, a symbol, an isle of freedom in a communist sea. We cannot and we will not permit the communists to drive us out of Berlin either gradually or by force. For the fulfillment of our pledge to that city is essential to the morale and security of West Germany, to the unity of Western Europe, and to the faith of the entire free world.
I do not come here to reassure people of West Berlin. Words are not so important, but the record of the three powers, our French friends whose hospitality we enjoy here, our British friends, and the people of the United States, their record is written on rock. The legendary morale and spirit of the people of West Berlin has lit a fire throughout the world. But it is not so surprising, for through history, those who live in the most danger, those who live nearest the adversary, those who keep the watch at the gate, are always prouder, more courageous, more alive than those who live far to the rear. So I'm glad to come to this city. It reassures us. And we express our thanks to the people of West Berlin for their welcome this morning. We come to a city which is 3,500 miles from the United States, but we come to a city which we feel to be part of us.
Motorcade through the streets of Berlin began. The entire route was lined with people who had waited hours to see the president, the man dedicated to the defense of peace and freedom. Never before had the Berliners turned out in such large numbers. Never was a reception so rousing and so warm. This was Berlin's way of expressing their years of gratitude. The president went, he was greeted with enthusiasm that knew no bounds. 1.5 million people crowded the streets of West Berlin. 1.5 million Berliners, cheerful, grateful, hopeful. These were the people who knew the full meaning of freedom, for just beyond the wall lies the constant reminder of a life hardly worthy of the name. The motorcade took him to the famed Brandenburg Gate, symbol of Berlin. But now, the landmark rested behind the wall. And for the first time in history, it was impossible to see the East Sector from this point. The communist regime draped red curtains on the monument, thus preventing a view of East Berlin. And likewise, it prevented the East Berliners from seeing the American president, and perhaps from waving a silent message of greeting to the man who represented courage. It was left to the West Berliners to represent their friends and relatives locked behind the wall. Motorcade continued onward with its whirlwind tour of the divided city. The din of noise, the shouts and cheers along the route were wild and enthusiastic. The people of Berlin gave the president the biggest reception in the city's history. At Checkpoint Charlie, President Kennedy viewed the eastern sector of Berlin for the second time. Prior to climbing the platform, the president stood near the white lines that divide not just a city, but two different ways of life. Communist banners and slogans were erected on the other side of the wall. Like those at Brandenburg Gate, the communist slogans, written in English, boasted of the eradication of militarism in the Soviet zone. Standing beside the banners were heavily armed border guards. But despite all of the obstacles and apparent danger, many East Berliners still gathered in Friedrichstrasse, some 200 yards beyond the sector border. They stood there in silence. The distance between freedom and communism seemed great, but within them remained that feeling of participation and of hope. The crowd gathered in close when the president returned to his car. While crossing the road, the cheering people were briefly able to rub shoulders with the man they appreciated so dearly. From Checkpoint Charlie, the motorcade proceeded to the Ehrlich Memorial at Tempelhof, and then to the West Berlin Town Hall at Schöneberg. All along the route, the same atmosphere prevailed. Wild, enthusiastic, the same exuberant acclaim from tens of thousands of people standing shoulder to shoulder along the way. Even before he arrived, the square in front of the town hall was bursting at the seams with people. All along the streets leading to it, the people wormed their way through, eager to participate in the historic occasion. This square, which is the scene of so many impressive and powerful meetings, has never before known so vast a gathering. Then shortly before 1 p.m., President Kennedy arrived. His appearance before the gathering brought forth a thunderous ovation. For 18 years, Berliners had waited to say thank you to the leader of the Western world. This was the day.
I am proud to come to this city as the guest of your distinguished mayor, who has symbolized throughout the world the fighting spirit of West Berlin. And I am proud to visit the Federal Republic with your distinguished Chancellor, who for so many years has committed Germany to democracy and freedom and progress, and to come here in the company of my fellow American, General Clay, who... has been in this city during its great moments of crisis and will come again if ever needed. Two thousand years ago, the proudest boast was Civis Romanus Sum. Today, in the world of freedom, the proudest boast is Ich bin ein Berliner. I appreciate my interpreter translating my German. There are many people in the world who really don't understand, or say they don't, what is the great issue between the free world and the communist world. Let them come to Berlin. There are some who say that communism is the wave of the future. Let them come to Berlin. And there are some who say, in Europe and elsewhere, we can work with the communists. Let them come to Berlin. And there are even a few who say that it's true that communism is an evil system, but it permits us to make economic progress. Lass sie nach Berlin kommen. Let them come. Freedom has many difficulties, and democracy is not perfect. But we have never had to put a wall up to keep our people in, to prevent them from leaving us. I want to say, on behalf of my countrymen who live many miles away on the other side of the Atlantic, who are far distant from you, that they take the greatest pride that they have been able to share with you, even from a distance, the story of the last 18 years. I know of no town, no city that has been besieged for 18 years that still lives with the vitality and the force and the hope and the determination of the city of West Berlin. While the wall is the most obvious and vivid demonstration of the failures of the communist system, for all the world to see, we take no satisfaction in it, for it is, as your mayor has said, an offense not only against history, but an offense against humanity, separating families, dividing husbands and wives and brothers and sisters, and dividing a people who wish to be joined together. What is true of this city is true of Germany. Real lasting peace in Europe can never be assured as long as one German out of four is denied the elementary right of free men, and that is to make a free choice. In 18 years of peace and good faith, this generation of Germans has earned the right to be free, including the right to unite their families and their nation in lasting peace with goodwill to all people. You live in a defended island of freedom, but your life is part of the Maine. So let me ask you as I close to lift your eyes beyond the dangers of today to the hopes of tomorrow, beyond the freedom merely of this city of Berlin or your country of Germany, to the advance of freedom everywhere, beyond the wall, to the day of peace with justice, beyond yourselves and ourselves, to all mankind. Freedom is indivisible, and when one man is enslaved, all are not free. When all are free, then we look forward to that day when this city will be joined as one, and this country and this great continent of Europe in a peaceful and hopeful globe. When that day finally comes, as it will, the people of West Berlin can take sober satisfaction in the fact that they were in the front lines for almost two decades. Free men, wherever they may live, are citizens of Berlin. And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the word, Ich bin ein Berliner.
The applause seemed endless. It was Berlin's proudest hour. The greatest of all meetings held before the town hall was solemnly concluded with President Kennedy inscribing his name in Berlin's golden book. The ceremony was held amidst a silence broken only by the tolling of the freedom bell in the tower above. The attention of a grateful people was fixed on a man who carried their hopes, their good wishes, and their confidence. After meeting with members of the city government and other public dignitaries, the president attended a dinner held in his honor at the town hall. Then at 3:23, the motorcade resumed its journey. Again, the streets were jammed with thousands of confetti-throwing people. They tried to catch a glimpse of the man who represented the United States. The motorcade took the president to Berlin's Free University, where he was awarded the distinction of an honorary citizen of Berlin's Free University. 15,000 students watched as the chancellor of the school made the presentation. The citation read in part, "In his capacity as president of the United States of America and as a spokesman for all the free nations of the world, did check the danger of a nuclear war and simultaneously secured the continuation of the constitutional democratic state and social order in the new and old world in one of the most critical periods in modern history."
As I said this morning, I am not impressed by the opportunities open to popular fronts throughout the world. I do not believe that any Democrat can successfully ride that tiger. But I do believe in the necessity of great powers working together to preserve the human race, or otherwise we can be destroyed. Nor can the West ever negotiate a peaceful reunification of Germany from a divided and uncertain and competitive base. In short, only if they see over a period of time that we are strong and united, that we are vigilant and determined, are others likely to abandon their course of armed aggression or subversion. Only then will genuine, mutually acceptable proposals to reduce hostility have a chance to succeed. This is not an easy course. There is no easy course to the reunification of Germany, the reconstitution of Europe. But life is never easy. There's work to be done and obligations to be met, obligations to truth, to justice, and to liberty.
The return trip to Tegel Airport saw the same enthusiasm relived. Berliners crowded along the freeway to bid farewell to the president. It was a moment to cherish and remember. It was a moment still vividly remembered today. It was time to say goodbye, not just to the dignitaries and people, but to Germany as well. As it began, so it ended. Dr. Adenauer and Willy Brandt were at the airport to say Auf Wiedersehen on behalf of the German people. Before boarding the plane, President Kennedy warmly thanked each member of his police escort for a job well done. It had been a vivid moment in Berlin's history. It is still remembered today and will continue to be remembered in the future. The aircraft's engines roared in the afternoon sunshine. At exactly 5:45 p.m., Air Force One would lift into the air, taking President Kennedy with it and leaving behind pleasant memories. Memories that provided reassurance and hope to a people divided by a wall. As the president said, Berlin is more than a showcase of liberty, a symbol, and an isle of freedom in a communist sea. Berlin is the great testing place of Western courage and will, a focal point where our solemn commitments and Soviet ambition now meet in confrontation. This is the way it was in the divided city, June 26, 1963. From 9:39 a.m. to 5:45 p.m., it was a day that belonged to Berlin.
Yesterday that I was going to leave a note for my successor, which would say to be opened at a time of some discouragement. And in it would be written three words, "Go to Germany." I may open that note myself someday. I know the American people naturally wonder on occasions whether all that they've done since the end of 1945, all the responsibilities and burdens that they've accepted, whether any of this effort is recognized and appreciated. If they had any doubts, it certainly seemed to me that the warmth of the welcome of the last 3 days, which was extended through me to the American people, should have ended them. And for that reason, if for no other, I'm happy I came, and I express my thanks to you, Chancellor, and to all the German people for the hand they held out to us.
Sound patterns and production by Air Force Sergeant Bill Bailey. Edited by Air Force Sergeant James Cunt. One Day in Berlin was produced by the Special Events Department of AFTV. This is Airman First Class Al Baker speaking.